Broadcasting live from the Metro Atlanta Chamber rooftop, it's the Health IT Leadership Summit. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
All right, we are back from the Metro Atlanta rooftop, and it's finally here, Shay. We have the headliner, and Joshua, this is the first time you and I got a chance to work together. What have you and Lee been doing?
We have been a little rap, a little punk. So I'm not sure what's going on here now.
Well, Lee told me you were going to be a little bit of trouble. No, this is going to be a lot of fun because in this segment, we are going to get a chance to visit with Dr. Shweta Sheha. She is an associate professor of IS with the Coles College of Business out there at Kennesaw State University and director of mHealth. Am I reading that right?
Yes, you are.
All right. Well, you got to tell us all. What is mHealth?
All right. Well, mHealth is this whole bandwidth and the whole gamut of things that is associated with healthcare being delivered and practiced using all kinds of mobile devices. So it's really cool, except it has its challenges, right? Like anything else that's cool out there. So you have all of these mobile devices that's floating around with like 100,000 applications on disease management, on wellness, on staying fit and whatnot. But if you look at the number of applications that go out and the number of applications that actually stick, the proportion is very lopsided. So 100,000 applications going off the horizon and maybe 1% or 2% of stickiness. So the adoption and the management of those applications is where the biggest challenge lies.
So, Josh, you're kind of a technical guy. You know a lot about the wireless and all that kind of stuff. Are you seeing in your day-to-day life, are you seeing just more and more attention toward mobile everything, mobile first, mobile now, mobile to tomorrow? Are you starting to see that a lot?
Definitely. And people are getting frustrated when they try and deliver telemedicine or something like that over a mobile device, and it turns choppy. And that's a major concern. So it's definitely an issue. And the ability to use it, though, can be incredible.
And so when you are professoring, is that a verb? So when you're teaching this stuff, is it a lot of hands-on active demonstration? Is it theory? I'm trying to envision a class. It's been a while since I've been in a classroom, Doc. But so maybe you could just walk me through, what is that like, the student experience?
Okay. So it's actually both. So we do have to give them the skills to actually create a mobile app. And we have a mobile application development center at Kennesaw State.
You have a center right there on site?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
So they do get hands-on on creating applications. But at the same time, they do have to understand the adoption challenges. So creating the application is the easy part. I mean, middle schoolers these days can actually create one. High schoolers can create one. But it's the research that goes on behind the scenes as to what goes on in the application, why an application sells better than the other, and why is there stickiness to one application versus the other. That's what makes it tricky, and that's what makes it more fun and more challenging.
So you got to be technologist, but you got to be psychologist too, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to get people to adopt it, it's almost like you have to be a change management specialist, yeah. aside from being technically proficient, or mm-hmm. you're going to get maybe short-term compliance, but you're not going to get true institutionalization and getting people actually to adopt those behaviors over the long haul.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll give you a very small example. So there was this research done on the Chinese aging diabetics. And it was funded by Microsoft, and the idea was to create an application that will speak to this specific cohort. So these were Chinese people with diabetes who were 60 and older. So we started out with creating, of course, the technologists got really excited, right? So they started creating this application with a lot of frills and fancies. And very soon we realized that that cohort was not responsive to that. They're not going to stick to it. They're not going to even use it. So we had to tone it down and bring it to a level where it's speaking the language of that cohort. So by the end of it, we had a gamification app which was doing the same thing, which was helping them manage diabetes, but it had a pagoda metaphor. The pagoda would be red in the morning, it would be flying high, blue skies, everything great. And as the day progresses, if they were taking their prescriptions in time, if they were exercising as prescribed, if they were eating right, then the pagoda would remain flying high and stay red. If they miss a dosage or two, or if they are taking food that's too high in glycemic value, then the pagoda will begin to turn brown and black and it will fall to the ground.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, exactly. And they hated
the death
that.
Card.
They absolutely hated it. So they wanted to win. And the biggest incentive was, of course, the fact that they wanted to win that game. And the fact that at the end of the 1 month or 6 months, when they would actually go to see their physician, the physician would be able to see the analytics of that app and give them a discount. So there was a policy initiative. There were dollars. So there was money associated with maintaining health and staying well. And the application actually spoke their language, which is really, really, really important if you want to create an application that measures up to the consumers.
So is that data coming back live during the treatment?
No, it wasn't. And that was by design, again, because you don't want data streaming continuously to the physicians, because the physicians will have a cognitive overload. I mean, they wouldn't know what to do with like 100,000 patients, sending them streaming data on, well, I took my prescriptions today in time, or I had a dosage of prescription that was missed twice during the day. So there was a threshold built into the application which will allow the transmission to happen if there is a situation that's categorized as an emergency. Otherwise, if everything is within the bandwidth, you don't want to have streaming data to the physicians. So they can actually examine that data at the end of the month or at the end of the 6 months.
So when you're putting together a program like that, how do you take a step back and select which one you're going to work on?
What do you mean by which one?
Well, you developed this program for Chinese diabetics.
Yes.
How did you get to that point? What steps do you take to build to find your specific application that you're going to build?
Okay. So first of all, it was dictated a lot by what Microsoft wanted. So Microsoft,
like everything else, we all make decisions
exactly
based on what Microsoft wants.
Exactly.
I still like Windows XP.
So, they funded the project. They wanted Chinese aging diabetics. But one of the things that you started out with was using the user profile and persona. So we got like a whole bunch of a cohort of data from the physicians, from the patients, from the in the rural, in the suburban, and the urban areas to understand really what the profile and persona of the patient is, what they want, what they speak, what they like, what they can work with, what do they actually want in this application in order to be able to manage their disease, what will incentivize them. So if the incentives are right, and if you can blend it in the culture, you'll have a higher chances of it getting adopted.
All right, so tell us about tomorrow. What are you hoping to accomplish? How will you invest your time tomorrow? You'll walk the carpet? What will you do?
Of course, I'll walk the carpet.
All right.
Yeah. We are bringing a whole lot of students from Kennesaw State to the internship fair.
Yes.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We are in the process of launching a program in healthcare management and informatics. So we wanted our students to get an idea of the thriving health IT market and what they can expect to get if they have the skill sets which the market is looking for. So that's one thing. The other is there's a panel that we have to put together on disruptive technologies, especially how some technologies are disruptive to healthcare, the way it's been practiced for over 100 years or so. So that's going to be fun. So I'll be looking forward to that.
So it's a panel, so you'll be talking to subject matter experts or just people kind of in that ecosystem and
yes,
asking them questions and that
uh-huh,
kind of,
uh-huh.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not on the panel. I just helped put the panel together.
Well, you're on
yeah
tonight's panel.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right. You're on the
loving
A-team.
It.
Don't worry about it.
Loving it.
So as you have an opportunity to counsel young people mm-hmm and they're considering careers in this arena, anything in particular that you make sure that you tell them to do and or make sure that you tell them not to do? Are there some do's and don'ts that maybe you've got a little scar tissue, you have a little experience and you utilize that that seasoning to save them a little bit of heartache on their way through?
Okay, so I can sell health IT all day, all night, right? So one of the things that I really want the students to understand, so in the past, when they think of a career in healthcare, they think of an RN, they think of a physician, they think of a medical assistant. But I want them to realize that the horizon is much more broader for it's and it's only growing bigger. So of course the consumer health technologies is one area. The other is predictive modeling and helping the physicians in making the right decisions, because in the past there were only a few things that they had to look at. Now they had to look at like a plethora of information, all kinds of drug interactions that can happen, and make the right decision at the right time. That's just way too much to ask for them. So the predictive technologies that are coming into play. The biggest, of course, is the population health management. So how do you take atomic information from individuals and then translate into population health? And what can be done in a more responsive fashion instead of in a reactive fashion to maintain population health? I think that's where the industry is moving.
All right. So broaden your horizons. Don't limit your options. Explore all of these things, because it's only and those options are going to continue.
It's only growing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Josh, you want to change careers? Maybe get in this space. Or, these guys are moving awfully fast, though, right?
Of course.
But when I graduated with MIS from University of Georgia, and my criteria was I needed to go out and get a job, and I literally ran across campus because I heard they were getting jobs at MIS, and now it's turned into healthcare IT, where I can see people really should be running towards that.
Exactly.
Because there's really no end, and if you can pique their interest as an intern and bring them in, and as a student, and especially with the healthcare summit like tomorrow, they're going to see things that are just going to blow their minds.
Right. And one of the reasons that the Health IT Summit was actually put together was to bring corporate, academia, and also people who are looking for that skill set. So when we did an assessment, I think a year back, there were 4,700 plus jobs in the Greater Atlanta area in the health IT segment that was going unfilled by what the academia was producing.
Wow.
It's exponentially growing, and it's only going to grow bigger. So if you have to pick an area in which you want to build a career, health IT it is.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. Okay, so how can we help? What do you need most? You need more students, you need more awareness. How can we help?
Both. So it's certainly more awareness. So a lot of times I do go and talk to the middle schoolers and the high schoolers.
Year, because you got to get to them early, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So at the high school level is when they're beginning to think, okay, you know, which area can I go into? So last year there was a group of students in the middle school level which I mentored and trained, and they put together an application on obesity, and they were invited to the summit. They were the top three teams, and they were really excited. So those students are now beginning to think that they can have a long career and a very rewarding career in health IT. And so we are doing similar mentoring for the high school students this year, because that's when you have to get them. They have to begin to think of what is on the horizon, what is it that they can do, and what they can hope to get out of their high school and their undergrads.
All right, before we wrap, let's make sure our listeners know, where can they go to learn more and maybe have a conversation with someone in your department or with you about this incredibly important and exciting topic? What are some coordinates they can, phone number, email, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. It's easiest to reach me via an email, and the email is ssneha@kennesaw.edu. And that's really the best way. You can always leave me a message on my office phone, but it ends up going into some black hole. So if I'm there, I promise I'll pick it up. If I'm not, don't.
Well, Doc, it has been an absolute delight having you on the program this evening. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Josh, I think we've done our job here, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you're a lot of fun to work with.
Ready for karaoke.
Fantastic. All right. That is a wrap from the rooftop of the Metro Atlanta Chamber. We'll see you next time.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.